Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Fantasize Me, the podcast where I take characters real or imagined, and I fantasize them as D&D characters. I'm your host, Zach Katz, and today we are going to be turning Baymax into a D&D character. How cool is that? I love it. So I'm sure many of you know, if you are familiar with Baymax, is probably from the Disney movie Big Hero 6. Where Baymax is a character. He's this cool synthetic helper droid, but he actually appeared 16 years before that in a Marvel comic. In the comic, he was teen super genius Hiro Takachiho's science project, and he was designed to be Hiro's personal bodyguard, butler, chauffeur. But Hiro programmed Baymax with his recently deceased father's brain. So he also becomes a friend, a father figure, and Hiro and Baymax are recruited into a fledgling super team called Big Hero 6. This version of Baymax, though, looks nothing like the movie version. Truly nothing. He had three different forms because he was a synth former and could morph his body into these various forms. The one that he took most of the time was just a large dude. It was just a guy. It was just this big guy. It looked kind of like a typical mafioso or something like that. Really weird. But that was so he would be less conspicuous in public while attending to Hiro's daily needs. But he also had two other forms, a battle dragon and an action mecha, which are very powerful, very imposing, used for fighting and violence. We are not going to use this version of Baymax. We are going to use the Big Hero 6 movie version of Baymax. That's the one I'm familiar with. I think that's the one most people would be familiar with, is this kind of white round friend. That was my nickname in high school, white round friend. So in the Big Hero 6 film, he is not created by Hiro. He is actually created by Hiro's older brother, Tadashi. And Tadashi created him with a special chip that contained 10,000 different medical procedures because he wanted Baymax to be this helper droid, this medical helper droid that had all this knowledge of medicine and could scan people's physical and emotional states to just help them. He was a healthcare companion. In the film, Tadashi just straight up freaking dies really early in the movie, and it is devastating. Every time I watch it, I cry, because, man, Hiro in this one loves his big brother so much. His big brother created this droid just to, because he just wanted to help as many people as he could, and then he just gets iced. Well, the opposite of that, he dies in a fire. It's brutal. Hiro is so upset by this, and Baymax really helps him because he is this healthcare companion, and he sees that Hiro is, you know, extremely depressed. His brother, his idol, his hero died. Ugh. But anyway, Hiro wanted Baymax to be more heroic, so he gives him a combat chip. Hiro, also a genius, creates a combat chip, so now he has this healthcare chip, but also he now was programmed for violence, which is, come on, dude. Which is great. And without the healthcare chip, he just becomes this evil violence monster with no conscience. Just essentially without the healthcare chip and just the violence chip, he goes kill mode, which is brutal. But in this hero form, because he's just this soft white marshmallowy friend, so Hiro designs armor for him. It's this cool red armor with purple accents. He uploads all of this combat martial arts knowledge. He gives him wings so that he can fly, a rocket fist for combat. And Hiro actually has these magnetic capabilities in his suit so he can attach to Baymax's back when they fly around. It is very cool, but that is, I mean, that's pretty much Baymax. There's not too much to him, because he is kind of like the mascot for the movie Big Hero 6, but the main character really is Hiro, who, you know, is just spends the whole movie grieving, essentially. So there's not too much known about Baymax. He doesn't really have much of a backstory. He was just made to help people, and then made to help people in a different way by enacting incredible violence, which I personally love. So let's just get into it. Let's pick a background for Baymax. So I'm looking at these backgrounds, and I'm only looking for one thing, and that's the medicine proficiency. And there's only like two backgrounds that give proficiency in medicine. Well, there's a third one, but it's like a scion of an outer plane. And I don't think that's right. So we're going to go with Simic Scientist, because his background is that, you know, he was made by a scientist. So that's the direction we're going there. So as a Simic Scientist, he's going to gain skill proficiencies in Arcana and Medicine, as well as two languages of his choice. And we're going to choose those languages once we have a race, so, you know, we can give him some diversity there. I would say the Arcana proficiency is also kind of fitting. I know he's like a science fiction thing, but it really seems like a lot of the things he can do is magic. What's that Arthur C. Clarke quote? Like, highly advanced enough technology is indistinguishable from magic. Paraphrasing, obviously, but That's what I'm feeling here. So Arcana and Medicine, perfect. Now that we have his background, let's pick a race. And I have an idea of what I want to do. We are going to do Owlin, or an owl person. I just think that's fitting. Because, you know, owls to me are very wise. They're always asking, who? That was funny. And a very overused joke from literally everything. Anyway, so as an owlin, he's going to get dark vision, but it's really good dark vision. Normally, dark vision gives you 60 feet that you can see in dim light. But with the owlin dark vision, he can see in dim light within 120 feet of himself. That's crazy. And I think that's fitting for a robot. A robot should be able to see in the dark, you know, night vision scanning. And also, he is going to have flight. So I could have gone, you know, I made him a wizard or a sorcerer so that he would have access to the fly spell so he could have flight that way. But that didn't really feel fitting, because with a fly spell, you can make other people fly too. And he doesn't really have that power. Hiro uses magnets to adhere to him. But this way, just Baymax can fly. And he has a flying speed equal to his walking speed. He can't use this flying speed if he's wearing medium or heavy armor. We know that he does wear armor canonically in Big Hero 6, but we're not going to worry about that. He's also going to gain proficiency in stealth, which is great. He does some stealth missions in the movie, or at least one that I can remember. He does a terrible job at it, but but still, he has that proficiency. And he knows common and one other language of his choice. Well, with his Simic Scientist background, we have three languages to choose from. So let's see. I always do like Elvish and Dwarvish. Let's pick anything else. Let's do Giant and Fiend and Demonic. Now, okay, listen, my justification for him being able to speak Fiend and Demonic is very stupid, but here it is. He's a companion droid, okay? He's good at talking through feelings. So, fiends and demons are typically evil creatures. So I think Baymax knows that language, so he can better communicate to them, better talk them down, help them work through whatever they're feeling. And Giant, just because, why not? Great, we have background Simic Scientist, race Owlin. Now we can roll for stats. So that's when you take a D6, a six-sided die, roll it 4 times, drop the lowest number, and then add up the remaining 3 to get one of his 6 ability scores. Okay, so we're going to do that 6 times. Looking for a gift for the D&D or TTRPG nerd in your life? Look no further than We Print Miniatures. We Print Miniatures has a huge range of over 3,000 miniatures that they can print on demand and send to you or your loved ones, or even people you just sort of like. Check them out at weprintminiatures.com, and at checkout, use promo code FANTASIZEMEPOD to get 10% off your entire order. I love that for you. Okay, so I rolled for Baymax, and he did pretty well. He got 14, 11, 15, 16, 13, and 11. So, that's pretty freaking good. Okay, so now we can plug those stats where we think they should go. So what do we think Baymax's highest stat is? I'm going to go with Wisdom. So we're going to put that 16 into Wisdom. Next is 15. Let's do 15 Constitution. Although, would he have a good Constitution? He's just this synthetic balloon. Can pop pretty easily. Okay, let's instead put that 15 into Strength. 14 into... Let's do 14 Dexterity. Because I would not say he's especially dexterous when he's just like walking around. When he's flying, he's very fast, you know, has freaking scanners that can help him avoid things while he's flying incredibly quickly. So let's do 14 Dexterity. Next is 13. Let's put that into Constitution. And then 2 11s will go into Intelligence and Charisma. Because I don't think Baymax isn't smart. He's just naive. He's very, very young. And as for Charisma, I mean, it's the same thing. He just doesn't really know how to talk to people. Doesn't have much experience with it. Now, from being an Owlin, he gets +2 to one stat and +1 to another. So let's boost his Wisdom. Let's make a Wisdom an 18, which is now a +4 modifier. 20 is the maximum you can have, so his Wisdom's incredible. And then a +1. Let's do that into Strength. Let's have 16 Strength, which is a +3 modifier now. So his starting stats are 16 Strength, 14 Dexterity, 13 Constitution, 11 Intelligence, 18 Wisdom, and 11 Charisma. Those stats are pretty good. Those are stats I can build a boy out of. So now let's pick his first class. So I think with his starting out with a healer, we should definitely start him as a cleric. Clerics are, you know, typical healers. Good healers, good support casters. They can use their magics for a lot of support spells, which I love. I mean, I don't have a lot of experience actually playing as a character. I've DM'd a lot. But the few times I have played, I really love being a cleric. It's so satisfying to be the one to heal your allies. It's great. I love it. So going into cleric, he's going to gain proficiency with light armor, medium armor, and shields, as well as all simple weapons. For saving throws, he's going to be proficient in wisdom and charisma saving throws. And for skills, he can choose 2 skills from history, insight, medicine, persuasion, and religion. We already got the medicine that I really wanted, so insight, because that's gotta help when you're a medical professional. and especially some of the help he provides, is psychological. And Insight really helps with that. So Insight and let's do Persuasion. Because it's not enough to know what's wrong with someone. You kind of have to persuade them to help you help them. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? It makes sense to me, so I'm going to go for it. As a first level cleric, Baymax gains spellcasting. He is magic, and his spellcasting ability for all of his cleric spells is going to be Wisdom. So his spell save DC are what a target needs to equal or beat in order to resist the effects of Baymax's spells is going to be 8 plus his proficiency bonus plus his Wisdom modifier. Proficiency bonus at first level is plus 2. His Wisdom modifier is plus 4. So that is already a spell save DC of 14. That is so good for first level. And his spell attack modifier, proficiency bonus plus his Wisdom modifier, is already plus 6. Incredible. It's so good. It's so good. Also at first level, he's going to gain his Divine Domain, which is his cleric subclass. And we are going to choose the Life Domain. For, I mean, obvious reasons. He was a healthcare companion. His whole goal was to heal people and to tend to wounds. And the Life Domain is so good at healing. The cleric alone is really good at healing, but this bumps it up to another level. So he's going to gain proficiency with heavy armor, which isn't especially useful because when he's wearing armor, he can't fly. But that's okay. Proficiency with heavy armor. And he also gains the ability Disciple of Life, which is so good. So now whenever Baymax uses a spell of first level or higher to restore hit points to a creature, the creature regains additional hit points equal to 2 plus the spell's level. So if Baymax just uses a bonus action healing word, that would typically heal 1d4 plus his Wisdom modifier, a maximum of 8 hit points. But now, 2 plus the spell's level would be an additional 3 hit points. So on a 1d4, I'm just gonna roll. Okay, I got a 1. But even with a 1, that now heals 8 hit points. That's so good. And that's just gonna go up based on the spell's level. Like, if he freaking, you know, I don't know if we're gonna get there, but a 9th level spell on a healing word, I don't know why you would do a 9th level healing word, but that would be 94 plus 11 hit points. Actually, when I say it like that, it's not that impressive. But if he uses, like, a Mass Cure Wounds or something, I think that's like a 5th level spell, everyone will heal an additional 7 hit points. You get it. It's good. I swear, it's good. All right, let's keep going in Cleric. I think we're going to be in Cleric for a while. I do. I think we're going to be in Cleric for quite a few levels. So let's keep going. Second level Cleric, he gets his Channel Divinity. Channel Divinity is pretty cool. He can use it once per short or long rest. And the base Channel Divinity option that Clerics get is called Turn Undead. It's not especially useful at higher levels, but it's very scenario specific. Just if you're fighting undeads like zombies or ghosts. But as an action, Baymax can make every undead that can see or hear him within 30 feet of him make a Wisdom saving throw. And if that undead fails the saving throw, it is turned for 1 minute or until it takes any damage. When it's turned, it just tries to move away from Baymax. So if he's surrounded by zombies, he can use Turn Undead and hopefully get a few of them off his back. It's not great. But he does get a Channel Divinity option from the Life Domain subclass called Preserve Life, and it's very good. So as an action, he can choose any creatures within 30 feet of him and restore a number of hit points equal to 5 times his cleric level. He can divide those hit points among them. Right now he's a second level cleric, so he'll have 10 hit points he can restore. This feature can only restore a creature to no more than half its hit point maximum, which means if someone is above half their hit points, you can't heal them. But this is great, because as he gains levels in Cleric, he can use this Channel Divinity to all of his allies that are below half health and be like, cool, you gain 10 hit points, you gain 4 hit points, you gain 9 hit points. Divvy those hit points up and just do a big burst of healing all at once. Very cool. That's also great because it's healing that doesn't require a spell slot, and healing that also comes back every short rest. Third level in Cleric, he's going to gain access to second level Cleric spells. Let's go fourth level in Cleric, which is an ability score improvement. So he can increase one ability score of his choice by 2, or 2 ability scores of his choice by 1, or we can pick a feat. I don't think we're at feats yet. I think I want to max out wisdom. So let's bump that 18 to a 20, which is now a plus 5 modifier, the highest it can go. So cool. So good. He's so powerful. I love it. Fifth level in Cleric, his turn undead feature now transforms into destroy undead. So if an undead of challenge rating 1/2 or lower fails their turn undead saving throw from that channel divinity, they are instead destroyed. Not especially useful. I don't know how many times that's going to come up because, you know, a challenge rating of 1/2 isn't very strong, but that's fine. Sixth level in Cleric, that is going to be the ability to use Channel Divinity twice per short or long rest, and another Divine Domain feature. So the Life Domain gives him the ability Blessed Healer. So now, when Baymax uses a healing spell on another person, it heals him as well. When he casts a spell of first level or higher that restores hit points to a creature other than him, he regains hit points equal to 2 plus the spell's level. That doesn't sound like a lot, but again, you can just bonus action healing word. He has access to third level spell slots at this point. Heal 3d4 plus 4 plus 5. And then he'll also heal 5 hit points. It's not a ton, but my god, I have a player in one of my longest running campaign that is a Life Domain Cleric. And their health is always pretty good. It's pretty good, because those few hit points will really add up. Okay, now I think we are done with Cleric. I think I'm viewing this, these 6 levels in Cleric, these are the properties that Hiro's older brother, Tadashi, first instilled in Baymax in that, you know, healthcare companion chip. Okay, now the rest is going to be Hiro's contribution to Baymax, that combat chip. So we're going to multiclass into Monk. He's going to be a monk. Isn't that fun? So multiclassing into Monk will give him proficiency in simple weapons and short swords. He's already proficient in simple weapons, so just gives him proficiency in short swords. So good for him. As a first leveled monk, he gains unarmored defense. Listen to this shit, okay? While Baymax is wearing no armor and not wielding a shield, his armor class equals 10 plus his dexterity modifier plus his wisdom modifier. His dexterity is plus 2, his wisdom is plus 5. That means his armor class is 17. Okay, being a Life Domain Cleric gave him access to heavy armor, which, you know, probably would have brought his armor class to 16. And he wouldn't have been able to fly. But now his armor class is 17, and because he's not weighed down by armor, he has that flying speed equal to his walking speed. It's so freaking good! Also, as a first level monk, he now knows martial arts. And that's perfect, because Hiro downloads a bunch of martial arts movies and techniques into Baymax with his fighting chip. So now Baymax can use dexterity instead of strength for the attack rolls and damage rolls of his unarmed strikes and monk weapons. His strength is higher, so we'll probably keep using strength. He can roll a d4 in place of normal damage of his unarmed strike or monk weapon. So normally when you hit with an unarmed strike, the damage is just 1 plus your strength modifier. So his would be 1 plus 3, so 4 damage. But now it's a d4 plus 3. So potentially 7 damage now. And that die will change as he gains monk levels. Also, when he uses the attack action with an unarmed strike or a monk weapon on his turn, he can make an unarmed strike as a bonus action. So if he takes the attack action and does a karate chop, he can just bonus action, second karate chop. Incredible. Second level monk that is 8th overall, he's going to gain ki. So now he can harness the mystic energy of a ki, and he has a number of ki points equal to his monk level. So, second level monk, he has 2 ki points. Isn't that easy to keep track of? He has a few abilities currently that he can use ki for. The first is Flurry of Blows. So after he takes the attack action on his turn, he can spend 1 ki point to make 2 unarmed strikes as a bonus action. With martial arts, he can always make 1 unarmed strike as a bonus action in this case, but with Flurry of Blows, he can now do 2 unarmed strikes. He also has Patient Defense. So he can spend 1 ki point to take the dodge action as a bonus action on his turn. A dodge action will just give all enemies disadvantage on their attack rolls against Baymax until Baymax's next turn. The last ability is Step of the Wind. Baymax can spend 1 ki point to take the disengage or dash action as a bonus action on his turn, and his jump distance is doubled for the turn. That's very fun. But now he can bonus action dash. He can fly incredibly fast. He can use his action to dash and then bonus action dash. He can move even faster because also at second level, he gains unarmored movement. So while Baymax isn't wearing any armor or wielding a shield, his speed increases by 10 feet. And that includes his flying speed. So now he has a walking speed and a flying speed of 40 feet. Very cool. So with Step of the Wind, he can fly 120 feet in one turn. Incredible. Third level in Monk, 9th overall, he's going to gain his Monastic Tradition, which is the Monk subclass. And I think we are going to do... probably Mercy. I think Mercy, yeah. So, Way of Mercy, he gains proficiency in Insight and Medicine and proficiency with the Herbalism Kit. Huh, well, we already gave him proficiency in Insight and Medicine, so that's kind of a bummer. But he gains proficiency with an Herbalism Kit, so now he can make, like, poultices and shit. He now gains the ability Hands of Healing. So now as an action, Baymax can spend 1 ki point to touch a creature and restore a number of hit points equal to a roll of his martial arts die plus his wisdom modifier, so 1d4 plus 4. Also, when he uses his Flurry of Blows, spending 1 ki point to take 2 unarmed strikes as a bonus action, he can replace one of the unarmed strikes with a use of Hands of Healing without spending a ki point for the healing. That's awesome! So he can attack someone, use Flurry of Blows, spend that 1 ki point, make an additional unarmed strike as a bonus action, and use Hand of Healing to heal himself or an ally. Very cool. Now, on the other side of that, because he is now built for violence, he gets Hands of Harm. So when he hits a creature with an unarmed strike, he can spend 1 ki point to deal extra necrotic damage equal to his martial arts die plus his wisdom modifier. He can only use this feature once per turn. So hits with an unarmed strike, he can do his normal 1d4 plus 4 damage for an unarmed strike. But now he can spend a ki point to deal extra necrotic damage equal to 1d4 plus 4. Or, oh my god, why do I keep saying plus 4? His wisdom modifier is plus 5. That's right, he has maxed out wisdom. Oh, that's so good. Okay, so he can hit for 1d4 plus 4 and then use Hands of Harm to deal an additional 1d4 plus 5. So, okay, Unarmed Strike can deal 1d4 plus 5, and then use Hands of Harm to deal an additional 1d4 plus 5. So that's 2d8 plus 10 that he can just do once per turn by spending a key point. Very good, and that's only going to go up as his martial arts die increases. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Okay, I love that. Also, as a third level monk, he gains Deflect Missiles, which is such a cool ability. So if someone hits Baymax by a ranged weapon attack, he can use his reaction to deflect or catch the missile. So catch this ranged weapon. When he does so, the damage Baymax takes from the attack is reduced by 1d10 plus his dexterity modifier plus his monk level. So right now it would be 1d10, his dexterity modifier is plus 2, his monk level is 3, so he would reduce the damage by 1d10 plus 5. And if he reduces the damage to 0, he can just catch the missile if it's small enough for him to hold in one hand, and if he has at least one hand free. And if he catches the missile this way, he can spend one key point to make a ranged attack with the weapon or piece of ammunition Baymax just caught as part of that same reaction. Baymax will make the attack with proficiency, and the missile counts as a monk weapon for the attack. So that is very cool. I personally don't think that's the best use of key points, because the attack's not going to do a lot of damage. If it's just, you know, like an arrow, the most damage you can hope for is like 1d6 plus 2 or plus 3 if you're using strength, when you can use a key point for Hand of Harm to deal 1d4 plus 5 damage. So the reaction to reduce the ranged weapon's damage is really good. I just don't know if spending the key point to throw that arrow or piece of ammunition or weapon back is especially useful. Don't get me wrong, it's sick as hell to be able to catch an arrow in the air and immediately throw it back at the attacker. That's awesome. I love that. Fourth level in Monk, 10th overall, that's another ability score improvement. So I say... I made his strength higher than his dexterity, but I'm just thinking, should we increase dexterity? Because that would increase his armor class as well. And it would increase his ability with that deflect missiles. You know what? No. No, I'm going to increase strength. So we're going to go to 18 strength, which is now plus 4 modifier. I don't think we're going to worry about maxing out strength. I don't think he needs it. But for now, 18 strength plus 4 modifier. Very good. Fourth level, he'll gain the slow fall ability, which is very cool. So if he's falling, he can use his reaction to reduce the falling damage by an amount equal to 5 times his monk level. So he's a 4th level monk, so he can just use a reaction to reduce his falling damage by 20. Falling damage in D&D isn't really deadly. Like, I think I've said this before, but as a barbarian, if you're raging, you'll take half falling damage regardless. And the maximum that you can take, you take 1d6 points of falling damage every 10 feet fallen, up to a maximum of 20d6. So the average damage for the maximum falling damage is just 70, which seems like a lot, but is really not. Because that's the maximum, is 200 feet. So if you're 800 feet up and you fall, the average damage you'll take is 70. And as a monk, he can just reduce that now to 50. So he's, you know, a 10th level character. He can probably already fall max distance and survive it. I just think that's fun. 5th level in Monk, 11th overall, he's going to gain extra attack. So it's just what it sounds like. He can attack twice instead of once whenever he takes the attack action on his turn. So that means he can attack twice. His martial arts die just went up to 1d6 as a 5th level monk. So he can attack twice, use Flurry of Blows to deal, you know, potentially another 2d6 plus 10. So he can deal 4d6. Oh my god, I am all over the place with these modifiers. Okay, he doesn't use his wisdom for his martial arts, he uses his strength. So when he attacks, it's not 1d6 plus 5, it's 1d6 plus 4. But when he uses his Hand of Harm, it is 1d6 plus 5 necrotic damage. Oh my god, I'm sorry for that. I'm looking at so many numbers right now that my brain's getting a little confused. It's just getting a little confused. Okay, oh my god. So that means with just his regular attack and his Flurry of Blows, he can potentially deal 4d6 plus 16. That's really good! That's an average of 30 damage. And he can spend an additional key point to use his Hand of Harm, which would be 1d6 plus 5, or an average of 8 damage. So 38 damage. With 2 key points. Incredible. He also gains an extremely powerful ability at 5th level called Stunning Strike. So now when Baymax hits another creature with a melee weapon attack, which his fists count as melee weapons, he can spend one key point to attempt a stunning strike, and the target has to succeed on a constitution saving throw or be stunned until the end of Baymax's next turn. So for all of his key abilities, he's going to use Wisdom for that key save DC. And it's just the same as his cleric spells. 8 plus his proficiency bonus plus his Wisdom modifier. Well, he is 11th level overall, so proficiency bonus is plus 4. Wisdom is plus 5, so that is a key save DC and, you know, cleric spell save DC of 17. Which is so high! That's awesome. That is awesome. That's very good. So they have to make a DC 17 constitution save or be stunned. And what's great is he can try this every time he hits with an attack. And he gets 4 attacks with his Flurry of Blows ability. Next, we are going to go to 6th level in Monk, 12th overall. So now he is equal parts Monk, equal parts Cleric. And he gets key empowered strikes. That just means his unarmed strikes count as being magical for the purpose of overcoming resistance and immunity to non-magical attacks and damage. So a lot of creatures in D&D have resistances to non-magical attacks and damage. He can now bypass that with his key empowered strikes. He also gains a monastic tradition feature from the Way of Mercy subclass called Physician's Touch. So now when Baymax uses his Hands of Healing ability on a creature, he can also end one disease or the blinded, deafened, paralyzed, poisoned, or stunned condition on the target. That is so good because being blinded really sucks. Being paralyzed, poisoned, stunned, deafened, those all really suck. And now Baymax can just end that effect potentially as a bonus action. That's really good. Additionally, on the opposite side with Hands of Harm, when Baymax uses Hands of Harm on a creature, the creature that Baymax uses this on is poisoned until the end of Baymax's next turn. So being poisoned will give that creature disadvantage on attack rolls and ability checks. That is very good. That's very good. He can just give them disadvantage on all of their attack rolls against himself or against his allies. That's great. 7th level in Monk, that is 13th overall. I think we're just going to continue in Monk because I think he got everything he needed out of Cleric. He's really good at healing. He has this Cleric ability to heal that isn't as good, but potentially more versatile because it doesn't rely on spell slots. He can use his key points for that to give him a wider healing range. So let's keep going in Monk. 7th level in Monk, 13th overall, he gains Evasion. Such a good ability. So when Baymax is subjected to an effect that allows him to make a dexterity saving throw to take only half damage, he'll instead take no damage if he succeeds on the saving throw and only half damage if he fails. I mean, his dexterity bonus is only plus 2, so he's probably not going to be succeeding too often, but now he'll take half damage even if he fails. So, you know, that's your fireballs, that's your lightning bolts. He's going to be taking much less damage from those, and I love that. Also, as a 7th level monk, he gains Stillness of Mind. So now Baymax can use his action to end one effect on himself that's causing him to be charmed or frightened. Which is very cool. No one likes to have negative status conditions. And I get that. It really does suck. All right, 8th level in Monk, 14th overall. That is an ability score improvement. So I'm looking at his ability scores, and I don't know, should I increase dexterity? I don't really want to. Ooh. Oh, you know what I'm going to do? No, we're going to give him a feat. And I know what feat I am going to give him. It is my favorite feat for a monk. I would say this is my favorite feat for a monk. It is the mobile feat. It's just, man, if you're making a monk, mobile is the way to go. Because it just takes what monks are good at and amplifies it. So first things first, his speed increases by 10 feet. As an 8th level monk, his unarmored movement is plus 15, so that's a base walking speed of 45 and base flying speed of 45. Now it is 55. Also, when Baymax takes the dash action on his turn, difficult terrain doesn't cost him extra movement on that turn. That's not especially useful because he can fly, but there you have it. If for some reason he can't fly, he won't have to worry about difficult terrain if he dashes. But why I love this for monks is the last ability. When Baymax makes a melee attack against a creature, Baymax doesn't provoke opportunity attacks from that creature for the rest of the turn, whether he hits or not. And with Flurry of Blows, Baymax can get 4 attacks. So if there are 4 enemies around Baymax, I mean, he could disengage or use a key point to disengage, but that's no fun. He can attack all 4 of them, potentially deal damage to all 4 of them, and then just fly 55 feet away. That's so fun. That's so fun. 55 feet is really great, and that's just gonna go up as he becomes a stronger monk. So boom, mobile feet. Ugh, I love it. 9th level in monk, 15th overall, that is an unarmored movement improvement. So the unarmored movement improvement is this. He can now move along vertical surfaces and across liquids on his turn without falling during the move. Again, not super useful because he can just fly, but now Baymax can run across water and run up buildings. That's so fun. 10th level in monk, 16th overall, he's going to gain an ability called Purity of Body. So this just means Baymax is immune to disease and poison. And I think that makes a lot of sense for Baymax because he's synthetic. He can't really become disease. He can't really become poisoned. Here, he shouldn't be able to. And now this just matches that. 11th level in monk, 17th overall, that's a monastic tradition feature from the Way of Mercy subclass called Flurry of Healing and Harm. So now when Baymax uses Flurry of Blows, he can replace both of the unarmed strikes with a use of Hands of Healing without spending key points for the healing. So before, with his Hands of Healing, he can just replace one of his unarmed strikes, but now he can do 2. That means he can attack twice, use 1 key point for Flurry of Blows, and instead heal. Martial Arts die at 11th level went up to 1d8, so that's 1d8 plus 5 that he can give himself or an ally for a total of 2d8 plus 10 for 1 key point. That's so good. Now it's called Flurry of Healing and Harm, so let's see what Hands of Harm improvement gets. So now when Baymax makes an unarmed strike with Flurry of Blows, he can use Hand of Harm with the strike without spending key points. He can still only use Hands of Harm once per turn. That's great. That means he can take his 4 attacks and not spend an additional key point for Hand of Harm. That's awesome, because he has a finite amount of key points. He only has 11 key points. I don't think I mentioned this, but his key points replenish every short or long rest. So he can get them back pretty quickly, but man, you can really burn through them in a combat. Absolutely. 12th level in monk, 18th overall, another ability score improvement. Let's do another feat. And we are going to choose the medic feat. So with this, his wisdom score will increase by 1 to a maximum of 20. I mean, his wisdom's already maxed, so I'm just going to put this into constitution to bring that constitution from a 13 to a 14. And I'm doing this, I justify this pretty much every time I do this. But if you're playing D&D, I don't expect you to have all potentially 20 levels of your character planned out. So if I had a player that's like, oh, my wisdom's already maxed out, so I don't think I'm going to take medic because it would waste that plus 1 to wisdom. Like, no, because you could retcon it and say, oh, okay, I boosted my wisdom to 19 and my constitution to 14 because I knew I was going to take the medic feat. That's ridiculous. No one's going to plan like that, and I don't expect them to. So we're just going to put that plus 1 into constitution, making it a plus 2 modifier. Also, since he's proficient in the medicine skill, he gains expertise in it, which means his proficiency bonus is doubled for all of his medicine checks. Okay, so he has plus 5 to wisdom, which medicine uses. Proficiency bonus at 18th level is plus 6, so he now has a plus 17 to medicine, which I think makes a lot of sense for Baymax. His last ability is, during a short rest, Baymax can clean and bind the wounds of up to 6 willing beasts and humanoids. He can make a DC 15 medicine check for each creature, and on a success, if a creature spends a hit die during this rest, the creature can forego the roll and instead regain the maximum number of hit points the die can restore. A creature can do so only once per rest, regardless of how many hit dice it spends. So, he's gonna be making those DC 15 medicine checks, because he has a 95% chance of succeeding there, he just can't get a nat 1. And this means if a creature is rolling 1d8 to restore hit points, they instead don't have to roll. They just get that 8. From the wording, I take this to mean you can only do it for a single die roll, because it says regardless of how many hit dice are spent. But that's potentially another 7 points of healing if they use a d8. If it's a barbarian that uses a d12, that's a potential 11 extra points of healing just from a DC 15 medicine check. That's awesome. So you'd just be, you know, hanging out after a battle. You're about to go out on patrol again, a little tired and weary. Baymax can wrap you up and help you regain a little bit more hit points. Beautiful, and I did want him to have expertise in medicine, so we got there. 13th level in Monk, 19th overall, he now gets Tongue of the Sun and Moon. With Tongue of the Sun and Moon, Baymax can now understand all spoken languages. Moreover, any creature that can understand a language can understand what Baymax says. So remember in the beginning, when I chose languages for Baymax, I chose Fiend and Demonic, and justified it by saying he's gonna wanna talk to his enemies. Fiends and demons are typically evil. He's gonna wanna talk to them and try to smooth things out without violence first. And now he can talk to whomever, and he can understand whomever. And that's really gonna help him take the non-violent route. Let it be clear, he's very good at violence, but it can be a little easier for him to avoid that violence. 14th level in Monk, 20th overall, the final level. We got there with Baymax. This is going to be Diamond Soul. So I was thinking of giving Baymax the Resilient feat, which would have increased his dexterity by 1 and given him proficiency in dexterity saving throws to make a little bit more use of that evasion. But now with Diamond Soul, he has proficiency in all saving throws. Additionally, whenever Baymax makes a saving throw and fails, he can just spend a key point to re-roll it and take the second result. So if he's making that dexterity saving throw, he will now have a +8 to that roll, but if he rolls like a 5 and thinks he's still gonna fail, he can just spend a key point and re-roll it. That's awesome! That is so cool! Oh, I love it. So that is Baymax. Baymax, a healthcare companion. Background, we chose Simic Scientist. Race, we chose Owlin. He is a level 6 Life Domain Cleric and a level 14 Way of Mercy Monk. His ending stats are 18 Strength, 14 Dexterity, 14 Constitution, 11 Intelligence, 20 Wisdom, and 11 Charisma. Beautiful stats. Gorgeous. For skill proficiencies, he has +6 to Arcana, +11 to Insight, +17 to Medicine, incredible, +6 to Persuasion, and +8 to Stealth. Him having a high stealth score is still so funny to me. I love that. For saving throws, he is proficient in all of them. That means he has +10 to Strength saving throws, +8 to Dexterity saving throws, +8 to Constitution saving throws, +6 to Intelligence saving throws, +11 to Wisdom saving throws, and +6 to Charisma saving throws. That's incredible. For languages, he knows Common, Giant, Fiend, and Demonic, but with the Monk ability Tongue of the Sun and Moon, if a creature... he can understand every language, and if a creature speaks any language, they can understand Baymax. Very cool, very fun. Jewel proficiencies, herbalism kit, and for feats, we gave him mobile and medic to boost his speed and boost his healing capabilities, of which he has many. So my idea for Baymax, you know, he's going up against a big monster. This is a Marvel universe, so maybe Baymax is going toe-to-toe with I don't know, Thanos or whatever. Baymax is just beating the shit out of Thanos, taking 4 attacks per turn, constantly stunning Thanos with his stunning strike ability, using Hands of Harm to poison Thanos. Just making a fool out of him. But Thanos is getting a second wind and starts fighting back pretty hard, okay? Thanos was lulling Baymax into a false sense of security. Okay, so Baymax is like, this is easy, I got this, I've barely taken any damage. And then Thanos goes sicko mode and just starts unloading on Baymax. Thanos is like, I've seen your capabilities and I find them lacking. I am inevitable, blah, blah, blah. All the you know, stupid shit Thanos says, and starts doing some actual damage to Baymax. He has Baymax almost down. Baymax's health is so low. Baymax is just going to use his channel divinity, because we haven't talked about his cleric stuff in a long time, but he can use his cleric channel divinity preserve life from the life domain subclass to just heal himself 30 hit points in one go. And then just for shits and giggles, he can just use a bonus action healing word on himself. 6th level cleric, he has access to 3rd level healing spells. Let's do a 3rd level healing word. Why not? He's got the slots for it, baby. So, 3rd level healing word, that's going to be 3d4 plus 5. But with his life domain subclass, that is going to be an additional 5 hit points. So he just heals another 3d4 plus 10, or an average of 17 hit points healed. So we can just heal 47 hit points in one turn. That's so good. But now Baymax is a little more cautious. Okay, he knows that Thanos was just joking around, and he's actually really, really tough. So Baymax switches tactics. Baymax makes 2 attacks on him, spends a key point for flurry of blows, and instead uses 2 hands of healing on himself. As a 14th level monk, his martial arts die is 1d8, so he heals himself 2d8 plus 10 with his hands of healing, using a single key point. And then with the mobile feat, he can just fly away from Thanos. His unarmored movement means his speed is increased by 25 at 14th level for a movement speed of 55 feet, and he has the mobile feat of 65 feet. Since he attacked Thanos, Thanos can't hit him with opportunity attacks, and then he can just move 65 feet away from Thanos, and he can fly. He can just fly up, and then what the hell is Thanos gonna do? Thanos might like throw a rock at him or something. Baymax uses deflect missiles to just grab the rock out of the air and spend a key point to throw it straight back onto Thanos before dive bombing him again and again, healing himself a little bit more with every run until he just single-handedly kills Thanos. I love that for him. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Fantasize Me. You can email in character suggestions to fantasizemepod@gmail.com. Baymax was another suggestion emailed into me, so get your suggestions in. Again, that email is fantasizemepod@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter, Blue Sky, Twitch, and YouTube, all under fantasizemepod. But yeah, check me out on Twitch. I'm currently streaming through Kingdom Hearts 2. That's twitch.tv/fantasizemepod. Having a lot of fun playing Kingdom Hearts 2. And Baymax is actually in Kingdom Hearts 3. How fun is that? You can fly around the city of San Francisco with Baymax and Donald and Goofy. It's a lot of fun. So twitch.tv/fantasizemepod. Tell your friends, tell your enemies, and tell your friends' enemies to listen to this podcast. Do it, I dare you. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll do this again soon. Bye.